Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6, and verse 46. Let's hear the word of God together. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So reads God's most precious word. Context of his verses here from 46 to 49 is that Jesus has been preaching. In Matthew's account, it's the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke's account, it seems to be a similar situation, if not the same situation. And there was a great company of people, verse 17 of chapter 6. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So there's a great company of his disciples, pretty much like they got here tonight. We're not a great company, but we are a company of his disciples, and we have come, I trust, to hear the word of God. And this company comes with expectations. They expect to be taught of the Lord. Some come with that desire to be healed of their diseases, and many pressed upon him, and they were healed as they sought to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. A great company of his disciples. And wherever people are meeting tonight in a church, there will be a great company. Around the world is a great company of people. Now, we look at ourselves here and we're quite small, but when we take a global perspective, there's a great number of people worshipping and praising God. That said, they're not all believers though. They're a mixed bag, so to speak. And this is what we find here in these verses which Lord Jesus speaks to that great multitude of people. Now, this parable, this saying of the Lord Jesus, has been reduced, sadly, to a children's song. It's a little ditty for many children. In Sri Lanka, every group which comes, whether it's from Switzerland, Germany, America, or the UK, they always teach this song to the children. The wise man built his house upon a rock. And it's, in a sense, it's become a children's song, a children's story. But underneath all of that, there's great truth. There's a great challenge here to the people of God and to the hearers of the word of God. And tonight, I trust the Lord will challenge us, both Christians and unbelievers, into where we stand. Where are we building? As I look at each one of you, I see a builder. Oh, we're all building. Do you know that? We're all building. Every single one of us are building. We're all builders. And the question is, how am I building? Am I building upon a strong foundation? Or am I building upon the earth? Am I building upon the sand? And that's the challenge that the Lord Jesus brings to these people at this particular time in his ministry. And he begins with those challenging words. He's spoken to them about the tree brings forth good fruit and bad fruit, etc. And then he turns his attention to another metaphor of building the foundation. And he says there in verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Did you hear that question? He's talking to you. He's talking to me. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do those things I've told you to do? Just think what the Lord has told you to do. And how are you going to justify your decision on the day of judgment? And why call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Some people never call the Lord, Lord. They never seek to do his will. That's the world. That's those outside. They have no desire to know the lordship of Jesus Christ. They have no desire to do his will. They have no desire to know his purpose. They are those who are godless and they are forsaken. And they never call him Lord. Others call him Lord without doing his will. They give lip service, like the son who is told to go into the field. "Yes, Father, I will go into the field." But he doesn't go, does he? He decides to do his own thing. And that's how we are, often with our Lord Jesus Christ. Call him Lord, but have no desire, they have no will, they have no motivation to do his will. Is that you tonight? You call him Lord, but you don't want to do his will. The Bible calls you, if you're that person, calls you a hypocrite. It calls you a play actor. That word hypocrite's from the Greek, which was to do a play acting, as you know. The actor would be on the stage, and he would take several parts, and he would put a mask on, and he would use that mask to portray that character. And when we say Lord, but not do his will, we're playing the part of a hypocrite. We're not being truthful. We're playing a part. We're trying to deceive ourselves and others. As we saw this morning, God sees the heart. He knows the heart and mind. He knows our motivation. So there are those who never seek to do his will, never call him Lord. Those who call him Lord and do not do his will. Others who are sincere and timid, do his will, but do not call him Lord. And others will say, "Lord, Lord." Where are you tonight? Are those groups of people, where do you stand? There are those who call him Lord and do his will. Are you a doer? Do you submit to the sovereignty of God? In our Psalm 44 this morning, we declared, "You're my King. You are my King. You're my Lord. I submit to your sovereignty. Whatever you bid me to do, that's what I will do. I'm your humble servant. And I seek to do your will and to do your purpose." Is that us? But then we also need to consider those who are self-deceivers. Matthew 7. You want to turn to Matthew 7 and verse 21. These are chilling words, some of the most chilling words, I believe, in all of our Bibles, as the Lord Jesus Christ confronts men and women who profess lordship to Christ, but in fact are deceived. Matthew 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." See, that's the key, that's the point. We call him Lord and we do his will. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" Then these chilling words. "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These men, these women, they were sincere. They were orthodox. They were zealous. Lord, Lord. And yet he turns around and says to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Does not this verse explain to us the current situation in the Church of Jesus Christ? The prosperity gospel and the charismatic gifts, etc. Well, I'm so grateful that here, over many, many years, we held to that view that the gifts have ceased. They are not for the current church today. They are part of God's revelation of truth in the New Testament era, but these gifts have ceased. We've always stood on that principle here that Gordon wrote. And yet many are saying, look, here's the Christ. Come to this wonder. Come to this miracle. Come to me, they say. And yet, for all their doings, for all their casting out devils, for the many wonderful works which they have accomplished, the Lord Jesus Christ says to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Do not be taken in by the current situation in the Church of Jesus Christ, so called. The Lord Jesus has warned us, even to the point that even the very elect could be deceived, if that were possible. We need to be on our guard. We need to be vigilant. We need to have our eyes opened to these truths. So not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, knows the Lordship of Christ. The Lord here is really saying to us, examine your heart, examine your position, examine where you stand before him. Do not be deceived. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, not do those things which I say? There's so many things we've been instructed to do through the word of God. So many things, so many commandments. Not suggestions. Repent. The Lord Jesus calls men and women to repent and to believe. It's not an option. This is something which God demands of us. Repent and believe. And then I go on to say, and be baptized. It's not an option. It's a command. And then assemble together to the prayer meeting, to the breaking of bread. These things which he has commanded us to do. And yet we don't do them. On that great day, how are you going to face the judge of all the earth? What excuses are we going to make before him? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Go into all the world and make disciples of all men, is the command. It's not an option. And yet, we sit and we twiddle our fingers, and we ponder, and the Lord says, why call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? But he says to these people, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. His people have come and they hear his sayings. They hear his word. And I tremble for some of you because you come week after week and you hear his word, but you do not respond to that word. I sometimes think it would be better if we didn't come to church at all. That seems a strange thing to say to a preacher, doesn't it? Be better if we didn't come to church at all. Be better if we never picked up this Bible. Because this Bible is powerful. It's dynamite. It challenges us. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whosoever. I love the whosoevers. Do you not like the whosoevers in the Bible? Whosoever cometh to me. Whosoever will draw of the water of life freely. Whosoever cometh unto me, I no wise cast out. Cometh to me and heareth my sayings. Hear my sayings. These are not the sayings of the preacher. This is the word of God. And not only does this man hear, but he does. He doeth them. I will show you to whom he is like. See, many of us can talk the talk, but we're not walking the walk. The Christian walk is a hard, narrow way. It's not the broad way which leads to destruction. It's a narrow way, and few there be that find it. It's something we need to seek for. Ask God to reveal to us. Whosoever comes to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, repent. Dear friend, what stops you from repenting? What stops you from going through the waters of baptism? What stops you to confess Christ as Lord and Saviour before the congregation? Whosoever shall confess him shall be saved. From our mouth, with our tongue, with our lips, through our life. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Then the parable, the picture we know so well. He's like a man which built an house and digged deep. What he's saying is, if you don't obey my word, you're like the man who does not build his house upon a foundation. Some of you know a little bit about building, I know. And we need to consider this technique, which is universal around the world, for a strong house, for a strong dwelling. We see here two men building two houses, probably in the same village, the same town. They have the same circumstances, they have the same resources, they have the same flood, they have the same rain. These men, probably like you and I, probably went to the same church. They went to the same fellowship meals. They went to the same prayer meeting. Outwardly, their buildings looked good. But one had a fundamental problem. He had no foundation. The Lord Jesus says to us, we need to be careful how we build. And the first man is like a man which built an house and digged deep. He digs deep. And they tell me in the Middle East, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, that vicinity there, Hebron, the ground, underneath it, there's bedrock. The outcrops, no matter where you dig, you'll find rock. Whether it's an inch or 10 foot, there it is. And this man, he digs deep. He knows that to build his house firm and secure, he needs to dig deep and lay his foundation upon the rock. And the Bible tells us that there's no other foundation laid than that of Jesus Christ. That's where this foundation lies. In our building terms, when you dig a foundation, you think of a trench. And then you fill it with concrete. That's not the foundation, friends. The foundation is the rock. What God has laid. It's down there. And you've got to dig deep to reach it. In this district here, you go down a meter. And then you find sandstone. You go down to Eastbourne, you can dig 10 inches and you find beach. And that is the foundation. You build a house. It's something which is solid, unmovable. And the Lord is saying to us, we've got to dig deep in that Christian life. Deep, solid, firm foundations. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Dear friend, are you digging deep today? Are you digging deep? Are you digging deep into the word of God? I think it's Job who says, the miner who digs for those gems, those jewels, that gold, those rubies. He goes into the darkness. He digs deep to find those treasures, those exhaustible treasures which are worthy of his labour. This man, he digs deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, The stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it's founded upon the rock. Friend, where are you building? Are you building on this rock, this immovable rock of our Lord Jesus Christ? But then we have the contrast, don't we, of this man who thinks, I can't be bothered with this. This is just too hard. Again, in the Middle East, in the time of our Lord Jesus and the forefathers there, they built in the summertime, not in the wintertime. This is the rain and the snow prevented good progress. But in the summertime, you built your home. But the problem was, in the summertime, the ground, the earth, became like brass. It was hard. And to break through that meant labour, physical labour. They didn't have JCBs or machinery to dig out this foundation. They used their hands and shovels and picks. It was hard work. So this second man thinks, this is too hard. I'll build my house upon the earth. And to all intents and purposes, as that house grew, it prospered quicker than the other man's house, because he's wasting all his time digging down deep. Now my house is raising quickly, and he says, at the end of the summer, I am safe from the storm, and from the wind, and from the tempest. To the outward eye, both houses looked the same. One was built on solid rock. One was built upon the earth, or as Matthew calls it, upon the sand. Then the storms come, don't they? The storms, those things which afflict us. We all have storms, illness, disappointments, family concerns, unemployment, bankruptcy. All these things suddenly come upon us. They're like these tremendous storms which shake us and cause us to stumble and to fall. But the man whose house is built upon the rock, when these things batter him, when they besiege him, his house stands firm because he's built upon a rock. He's built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have storms of life. You know, it's familiar hymn. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong ties lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? And he carries on to say, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in a Saviour's love. This is where this man built. He built on a Saviour's love, grounded firm and deep. Will your anchor hold in the straits of fear when the breakers roar and the reef is near, while the surges rave and the wild wind blows? Show the angry waves, then you'll break or flow. We have an anchor. This man, he builds deep. He's secure. Whatever the world, whatever Satan throws at him, he's immovable because he's founded upon a rock. But the man who builds upon the sand, his house, it falls. And it fell. And the ruin of the house was great. He thought that his house was firm and solid and secure. He thought that he was safe. Yet when all the problems of life are thrown at him, the cracks begin to appear. The roof begins to shift as the waters undercut his building work. The whole house collapses, and great is the fall of that house. This is the end. This is the end. How are you building? Are you building upon a rock, or are you building upon sand? And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. Why are we so foolish? Matthew says that the wise man built his house upon the rock. The Greek word for wise man is there, the sane man. It's insanity, friends, to build upon the sand, to build upon the earth. It's insanity not to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with our life and with our future. Because this same Lord Jesus who speaks gracious words, this one who bids us to heed his sayings, these tender sayings of "Come unto me, all ye labour and heavy laden, I will give you rest." This same Lord Jesus with these tender words will one day, the day of judgment, pronounce judgment upon us and say, "Away from me, I never knew you," and cast us into that place of everlasting torment, of weeping and gnashing of teeth, separation from our holy and our righteous God, this place which the Bible calls hell itself, eternal separation from Almighty God. And yet our Lord Jesus is so tender, is he not? "Come unto me." Why will you not come unto this blessed Saviour? Why will you not build upon this sure foundation? Why would you risk all your life, all your future happiness, eternity, upon time and sense and space right now, when you can come to this gracious and loving, merciful, forgiving Saviour? There is no other gospel in all the world as the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which offers hope to sinners, which gives us advice. See, the chapter we've read there in Isaiah 28 speaks of those who trusted in their own wisdom. The picture there is they made a covenant with death, with hell, is they made a covenant with Egypt. And the Lord is telling them very clearly that a covenant is false, it will not stand, it's faulty. The Egyptians will not come to the aid of Israel in their time of need, and they will be washed away. But he says, "But I will set up a foundation. I will set up a cornerstone. I will set up one which is tried and tested." And dear friends, that cornerstone, the one we align our lives on, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That cornerstone was set upon a rock, upon a foundation. And the whole building was structured around that cornerstone, tried and tested. It wasn't faulty. It was perfect. It was square and it was level and upright. And this is the one whom God the Father points us to tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, Saviour of sinners. Build your life upon him. There is no other foundation. How are you building tonight? How are you building? Are you building with precious stone? Or are you building with hay and stubble? What are those words we long to hear as we enter glory? "Is it not well done, good and faithful servant?" Those are the words as a Christian we long to hear, surely. And for I trust for all of us here, they will be the words we hear. Not those words there in Matthew, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That is the stark contrast that the Word of God presents to us tonight, presented to the world through time and through history. Those two contrasts. Come, let us build together upon this rock, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.